Dr. Kripke's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only show in radio where the audience writes the scripts. And tonight, Downers Grove, Illinois, is in the spotlight, and the honors and prize money go to Mrs. Betty F. Rivert for her play, The Devil That Calls in the Night. Jean Hirschold is starred as Dr. Christian, and Rosemary DeCamp, screen actress, plays Judy Price. Men, dry scalp is a thief. Yes, dry scalp robs you of an important asset in business and social life, good grooming. If you have dry, unruly hair, if you're bothered with loose dandruff, remember, these are signs of dry scalp. Start using Vaseline Hair Tonic today and effectively check dry scalp. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements the natural scalp oils, contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Vaseline Hair Tonic checks dry scalp, keeps hair neatly in place. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Vaseline Hair Tonic gives two-way care to both scalp and hair, gives your hair that neat, natural, just-combed look. That's why more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. And so to our prize play. The opening scene takes place in the familiar office of Dr. Christian, where Judy is talking to a visitor.
Tom, I think you're imagining things. After all, Margie Bradford...
Judy, I tell you, there's something terrible going on in that old Bradford house.
Oh, thank heavens you've come, Dr. Christian. This young idiot here is almost going berserk.
Tom Hardy going berserk? Nonsense. He's too level-headed for that. Hello, Tom. What's wrong?
I'm scared stiff, Dr. Christian. That old battle axe won't even let me in the house, and the telephone's disconnected, and Margie talks so strangely, and even Amos thinks so.
Oh, battle axe, telephones, Margie, Amos. I think you'd better begin at the beginning, Tom. Come on into my private office. You too, Judy. Close the door.
All right.
We'll hear the bell if anyone comes in. Now, sit down calmly and tell us what you know, Tom.
Sorry I blew up like that. Well, I know Margie better than anyone else around here.
You went around a lot together when she first came to River's End, didn't you?
She was the new kindergarten teacher, you know. Little Margie Young. I loved her from the first. Never told her so. I didn't want to rush her or anything. And then Jeff came home from school.
Oh, he loved her, too?
Of course. It was the real thing for her and for him, too.
Miss Lucinda kicked up quite a fuss when they were married.
Yes, because Margie was an orphan from a foundling home.
Yes, but she changed a lot when Jeff went overseas. Insisted on Margie's coming there to live with her. The baby was born there in the old Bradford homes. Margie has Jeff's old room.
I guess Margie and little Jeff are the only new things that have come into that house for 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Now for today's problem, Tom.
Well, it's like this. After Jeff was killed, Margie was dazed at first, naturally. She couldn't make any plans at all. But finally, about 6 weeks ago, she told me that she'd decided to accept a teaching job at Center City. She said she wanted to get the boy out of that gloomy old house.
No, I think she was right. Why didn't she go?
Well, the next day she telephoned me and she was crying.
What about?
All I could get was something about, I can't go now, I'll never be able to leave here, never. And then she hung up. I couldn't get to talk to her for days and days. And then she telephoned again, and she was hysterical.
Oh, what did she say that time?
She asked me not to try to see her again. She said she couldn't talk about it, but it was horrible. She didn't know what to do. She'd just have to do what Jeff told her to because she couldn't help herself. Then she hung up.
What Jeff told her to do?
That's what she said. I haven't talked to her since. The telephone's been disconnected. I can't get in the house at all. Miss Lucinda won't let me in. But Amos told me that something bad is going on in that house. He's scared, too.
Is Amos that old man that works around the place?
Yes.
Oh, somebody in the outer office. I'll tell them to wait.
You don't think I'm just imagining things, do you, Dr. Christian?
Oh, no, Tom, I don't.
You could go there to see her, couldn't you, Dr. Christian? Please. You could pretend that you wanted to check the baby or Margie or just pay a social call on the old battle axe.
Oh, none of that would fool Miss Lucinda if she's really trying to keep all of us out, but... Yes, I think I could.
Dr. Christian, that was Amos.
Amos, here? Let me talk to him.
Oh, he scuttled in and out like a rabbit. He said Miss Lucinda wanted Dr. Christian to come to the house immediately.
Well, I won't get the door slammed in my face after all. What else did he say, Judy? What's wrong?
Well, I asked him just that, and he said, I don't know, I don't even want to know, but Dr. Christian better be ready to fight the devil himself because he's loose in the old Bradford house, and he calls in the night.
Miss Lucinda, you sent for me.
Obviously, Paul Christian, or you wouldn't be here. Come in. We'll go in the library.
I heard that your telephone has been disconnected. Surely you need a telephone here. You're too far out not to have one.
I'm the best judge of that, Paul Christian. I had it taken out for reasons of my own. Sit down.
Thank you. Has the baby been ill?
Little Jeffrey's well. He's a strong, vigorous, intelligent child, a credit to the Bradford line. I would certainly not permit him to be ill without a doctor's care.
Oh, I think I could depend upon you to do your duty as you saw it. Well, the trouble must be with Margaret, then.
It was a bad day when Jeffrey Bradford married her. I warned him that a girl who didn't even know her own parents, didn't know what background she might have come from, was a poor investment for a wife. But he wouldn't listen.
Oh, now, it's ridiculous to think that there could be anything wrong with Margie. Well, she's a darling.
Men are all alike. Pretty face, and they forget what little wisdom they might have. Well, my prediction has come true, Paul Christian. Margaret is losing her mind.
Margaret losing her mind? You mean that...
I mean insanity. Margaret insists that Jeffrey, my dead nephew, talks to her at night. Every night. She insists that he calls to her and tells her things. That she's not dreaming any of it. Now, wouldn't you call that insanity?
Oh, you should have called me sooner. You had no right to keep her hidden away here, feeding on her grief and her loneliness.
I tried to keep anyone from finding out about her condition. You must take Margaret away. Have her committed. Someplace, take her anywhere. Don't let people in this town know about it. I'll not have them talking about Jeff's wife being in an insane asylum.
Jeff's wife isn't going to the insane asylum, Aunt Lucinda. Because I'm not insane. I can prove that I'm not.
Of course you're not, Margie. Sit down here, my child. Let me look at you. Oh, you're too thin.
No bother, Dr. Christian. I'm not ill. I know I'm not now. For a while, I wasn't sure. But now I know. You didn't believe me, did you, Aunt Lucinda, when I told you that Jeff had come back to me? That he talked to me at night. Really talked to me.
You see, Paul Christian, have I exaggerated the girl's condition?
Margie, my dear, you are seriously in need of good nursing care. I would like to arrange for you to go away for a little while.
Oh, no, Doctor. I can't leave Jeff. This is where he comes. Aunt Lucinda, do you remember when Jeff and I came to see you just before he left for overseas? When he came to say goodbye? It was the first time I was ever in this house.
Naturally, I remember. I'm not in my dotage.
What did he show you on that day? What did he take from the inside pocket over his heart and show you?
What new nonsense is this? He showed me your picture in a little silver case and made some wild statements. What about it?
He showed you my picture and told you that he loved me more than everything else in the world. That he'd always love me and always watch over me. He was wearing that picture next to his heart when he was killed. I'm sure it never left him.
You're probably right. If that makes you any happier.
Then, if the dead don't come back, how did that picture get in my room this afternoon?
What do you mean?
Here, look at it. My picture, the one Jeff had. I found it beside my hand when I woke up, there beside me on the coverlet. It's Jeff's case with his initials on it. You recognize that, don't you, Aunt Lucinda?
I do.
He brought it back to me. He had to convince me that he really could come back. Now I know. Jeff has come back.
Look, Ma, Margie, you've got to get to sleep. Dr. Christian left me here with you as a nurse, and he'll be back very soon to check up on both of us.
Poor Jeff. Big Jeff, I mean. He told me a lot about Aunt Lucinda. What an unnatural childhood he'd had. He said the only time he'd have any fun at all was when he'd slip out and meet Tom Hartley.
Tom's a grand person, Margie, and he loves you very deeply.
I know. I love Tom, too. It's funny. I think I'd have married Tom and been very happy with him. But he didn't ask me to, and then Jeff came along and needed me so much. Jeff depended upon me for all his strength.
You were good for him, Margie. You can be sure of that.
He wasn't afraid of anything when I was with him. He wasn't even afraid to go off to war when he knew I was waiting for him. And when I wrote him about the baby coming, he was the happiest he'd ever been in his life.
Well, that should make you happy, too, Margie, knowing how he felt.
It did, for a while. I thought that he'd found the courage he always needed. And I planned a new life for our son. A life away from here. And then he came back. And he still needs me. That's the terrifying thing. He isn't strong without me.
We aren't going to talk about that tonight. Not at all.
It was my fault that he had to come back. I was betraying him when I wanted to get...
Margie!
Away from here, huh?
Margie, don't keep me waiting. I'm so lonely. So lonely. I need you. I'll never let you go.
Judy, did you hear that? Did you hear it too?
Margie.
Yes, I did.
You see, he won't let me go. I know that now. I can't fight him any longer.
Waiting for you. Waiting.
Yes, Jeff, I hear you. I won't keep you waiting much longer, I promise. Do you hear? I promise.
Margie, you mustn't talk like that. You've got to pull yourself together. Dr. Christian will be here soon.
Dr. Christian, now that you've told me all about this afternoon, I'm more worried than ever. I don't understand any of it.
I don't either. But I'm not going to rest until I do. That's why I came and grabbed you. And I want you to keep your eyes and ears open and your wits about you. Here we are at last.
Somebody coming down the walk. Running.
I think it's Amos.
Amos! Is that you? Is anything wrong?
Dr. Christian, it's horrible. I heard that voice tonight. I heard it. It's the devil, all right. An unholy devil let loose in that house. You've got to get Jeff's little wife away from there.
What are you saying, Amos? Has anything happened to Margie? Hurry up, won't you?
Heard the voice. The devil in the speaking tube. Kitchen. The voice calling Margie. Calling her to perdition.
He's collapsed. Give me a hand, Tom. You've got to get him in the house. Take his feet.
But what's happened? What was he saying? What's happened to Margie?
I don't know. We've got to get inside first. Careful. Watch the steps. Hold him carefully. Now then.
Why doesn't somebody come? I can break a window. I've got to get inside. Margie may be in danger.
Fool. Want to wake little Jeffrey? All foolishness coming here at this hour.
Get out of the way, Lucinda. Amos needs attention. Put him right here, Tom. Just stretch him out. Now, bring that lamp over. I need more light.
Well, what's wrong with Amos? Well, do something. Don't just stand there.
There's nothing I can do for Amos. He's dead.
Amos dead? How can he be? He was all right at 9 o'clock when he locked up. I said good night to him as usual. What was he doing outside? He never goes out at night.
He was driven out of this house by fear. He heard something that sent him out to find help.
You mean that he had a heart attack?
I imagine that I'll put something like that on the death certificate. But if I were to tell the truth, I should say that he had been frightened to death. The evil that is in this house killed him.
Evil in this house killed him? What do you mean? What did he tell you?
He said something about the voice. That he heard it tonight. Did you understand all of it, Tom?
What? Yes, I think I heard him, but I couldn't make it all out.
I'm going to leave you here beside Amos, Tom. I want you to think about Amos and what he was trying to tell us. Think, Tom. And if you get an idea, act upon it. Miss Lucinda, you come with me.
All right, all right. What did Amos say to you? I have a right to know.
Dr. Christian, is that you?
All right, Judy. I'm here now.
It's been awful. That voice, I heard it too. It's frightening.
Is Marty asleep?
No. No, I'm not asleep, Dr. Christian. I'm not going to sleep anymore. Not anymore.
Judy, I want you to go over there and sit down on the bed beside Marty.
All right.
Miss Lucinda, you sit here in this chair.
He called to me again tonight. He's waiting for me. I know now what I have to do.
I heard it too, Dr. Christian. That voice, just as she says. It called to her.
Now it's the nurse who's insane. Voices. Hearing things that aren't there.
You have never heard this voice, Miss Lucinda? Are you sure?
Quite sure. Can't very well hear something that doesn't exist, can I?
Aunt Lucinda. Aunt Lucinda. Are you listening? Can you hear me? Aunt Lucinda.
No, I...
Aunt Lucinda.
What is that?
I want you to listen to
no.
me.
No. No, Jeffrey, don't.
I
don't.
Something
I'm sorry.
To tell you.
I didn't mean
Aunt
to.
Lucinda,
I never will again. Just don't call
Aunt
me like that.
Lucinda.
I won't. Oh, Dr. Christian, make him stop. Don't let him.
Can't.
Don't.
He calls and calls. He's lonely and frightened, and he needs me.
It's all right, Marty. It's all right. The voice has been your voice always before, hasn't it, Miss Lucinda? You were the one who was torturing Margaret.
But I didn't mean to hurt her. Not at first. She was going to take little Jeffrey away from me. I couldn't let him go. I thought I'd just frighten her a little. Make her think she had to stay here, and then...
And then you wanted to do even more, didn't you?
Yes. I began to think that she was nobody, no family, not even a name to call her own. If I could have made her do something to herself, or if I could have made her lose her mind, then I would be little Jeffrey's guardian, and I could bring him up to be the greatest Bradford of them all.
Dr. Christian, Margie... Oh, Margie.
She's going to be all right, Tom, thanks to you.
Did you hear me? Did my voice carry? Is that what you wanted me to do, Dr. Christian?
It was you! You on that tube! I thought it was Jeffrey, I thought...
Yes... You did the right thing, Tom. She betrayed herself.
But I don't understand at all. Tom, was that you calling to Miss Lucinda now? And has she been whispering those horrible things to Margie all the time?
Yes, Judy, she has.
Oh.
And it was Tom you just heard.
Well, where did the voice come from?
Through the speaking tube. When Amos mentioned it tonight, I remembered that Jeff had told me once about the old system of speaking tubes they had in this house.
I thought it was something like that.
Whenever Lucinda wanted to torture Margie, she whispered up through the tube. Imagine the outlet is up here behind the bed someplace.
I don't understand. I heard Jeff call me. Night after night he called. Oh, I wish he'd stop. I'm so tired.
He has stopped, Margie. He never did call you. It was a terrible trick. We won't talk about it anymore tonight.
But the picture. The one I found on my bed today.
Jeff's clothing and personal effects were all sent back, weren't they, Miss Lucinda? You didn't tell Marty, but you found the picture and decided to use it too, didn't you?
Yes. I hid the clothes, and then I thought maybe the picture might drive her to...
It was the picture that put me on the right track. Human hands had put that on Marty's bed, and there wasn't anyone in the house with her except you and a year-old baby. Tom, pick Marty up and take her downstairs now to the car. She's leaving this house tonight, and she's never coming back.
Come on, darling. Just hang on for a few minutes. The nightmare's all over. There won't be any more.
Oh, Tom. Tom, don't leave me anymore. I was so afraid. Don't leave me.
Not ever again. Just forget about everything except that nothing's going to frighten you again.
Judy, you go downstairs and get the baby and take enough clothes for the present and take him out to the car.
No, no. No, you can't take the baby.
That's one of the best things you ever asked me to do, Dr. Christian. I want to get out of this house fast.
Oh, you can't take little Jeffrey away from me.
He's the last of the Bradfords. He belongs here. He's all I have left. You can't take him.
You forget Marty has first claim on little Jeffrey.
What can she do for Jeff's son compared with what I can do?
Marty is going to marry Tom Hartley and bring her son up in a normal home, full of love. That's something you could never do for him.
You can't get away with it, you meddling old fool.
Oh, Lucinda, why don't you face facts for once? Marty and the baby are gone because you drove them out.
I'll sue for the child's custody. You'll see. The Bradford money will count for something.
If you do, you'll have me to reckon with. Because I shall tell the whole story of your attempts to drive this girl out of her mind. To make her commit suicide. And I shall tell about Amos, too. Lying dead down there because of you.
I'll say he was old. His heart was weak. I didn't kill him.
It won't do, Lucinda. I think in this town my word will be taken against yours.
But you're leaving me alone. There's no one now. Not Amos, not Jeffrey, or the baby. Oh, Margaret. Oh, I'm alone. Alone.
Then you'll have plenty of time to meditate on your sins. After Marty is settled in her own home, if you go to her in honest humility and ask forgiveness for what you've done, well, it's just possible she will let you visit the baby occasionally.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. But first, a word from Judy Price.
If baby could make complaints, Mother, he'd tell you a few things make him as uncomfortable as chafed, tender skin. It pays to know about Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly brings cooling relief to baby's touchy, sore skin. Smooth it on the irritated places, massage it into the folds of skin where clothing rubs. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly is ideal for baby because it does three important things. First, it soothes and cools baby's chafed, irritated skin. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep out infection when the skin's broken. And third, it helps to promote healing. Since Vaseline Petroleum Jelly is so pure, gentle, and safe, you can use it just as generously as you please. And don't forget that grown-ups also welcome its cooling comfort when their skin is red and inflamed. Keep an extra tube or jar on hand. And when you buy, remember there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity.
Thank you, Rosemary DeCamp. And now, here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. The author of tonight's prize play, The Devil That Calls in the Night, is Mrs. Betty F. Revert. Mother and housewife, who makes writing her avocation. She has authored a number of radio scripts and was a Dr. Christian Prize winner last year, too. Next week, we'll be in New York, and we'll be there several weeks for the judging of the Dr. Christian Award scripts. Those of you who live in or near New York and want to see our program should write for tickets at once to the Vaseline Program, 17 State Street, New York City, New York. Our prize play for next week will be Hero in the Doghouse by Ruth Cornwall Woodman. We invite you all to listen next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program. Until then, I'll say good night.
Ladies, before shampooing, massage your scalp briskly with Vaseline Hair Tonic. After the shampoo, apply Vaseline Hair Tonic like a brilliantine. See how lustrous, how shining, how beautiful your hair becomes. Remember, Vaseline Hair Tonic. A new edition of our full-length novel, Dr. Christian's Office, is going fast. Get your copy now, only 49 cents at all bookstores. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.